Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. This is God's host, Ephesus Baptist Church. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It's so good. Not only did I have a senior moment at the business meeting and this morning, but last Wednesday or Thursday when I talked to Carol, I gave her, well, I shouldn't say it was a senior moment. I gave her a scripture that I had planned on using this morning that is applicable to the message. But it was a choice between two, and after I gave it to her on Thursday night when I was studying, I decided to use the second one. So I tried to figure out how to blame Carol, but I couldn't do that. But our scripture this morning will be from Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 12. And I apologize for not picking the one I eventually will use and having it in the bulletin. You know, spring has definitely arrived. Pollen is falling, as certainly many of you know, and Connie knows she's suffering from asthmatic bronchitis as a result of all this pollen and the sinus infections. And Becky is suffering from vertigo from the sinus infections from all the pollen. The grass is growing. The flowers are blooming. The gutters need cleaning. The gardens need planting. The houses need power washing, and on and on and on. But there's another definite sign that spring is here, and that is the nominating committee is beginning its work. And as I mentioned, you will be handed service surveys when you leave the service this morning in order to give the committee some idea of where you are willing to serve. As I said, our text today is from Jeremiah, the first chapter, verses 4 through 12. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Jeremiah 1, 4 through 12. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. What type of person comes to mind when you think of someone whom God can use to serve him and advance his earthly kingdom? Is it a dynamic personality, someone who is a good speaker, who is very charismatic and outgoing? Is it someone who is always cheerful, smiling, always positive attitude, no negativity whenever you're around them? Is it someone who never meets a stranger? They immediately relate to others. They can empathize and sympathize with the concerns and problems of others immediately. You think of a young person, new in the faith, fresh and anxious to serve, and maybe not real smooth around the edges, but has that vitality. Do you think of an older person, someone who is maturing in his or her walk with the Lord and who is settled in their faith and has encountered many of the problems that a servant of the Lord will encounter in others and can advise them and counsel them? Do you think of a highly trained person, someone who has a Master of Divinity degree, someone who's a doctor of theology, a doctor of divinity, a minister of preaching, a doctorate of ministry and preaching? Did you ever think God would choose someone to use who cries regularly, who is depressed very easily, has mood swings, is not a confident person, has no training, and is really young in age? Do you think of yourself as one who God chooses to serve Him, to minister to in His name and to advance His earthly kingdom? Well, if you thought of someone who was dynamic and cheerful and outgoing and older, then you probably never thought that God would have picked Jeremiah, the man we're going to talk about briefly this morning. Hopefully Doug Russell gave each of you a piece of paper, and hopefully you have access to a pen or a pencil. And what I want you to do with that piece of paper is I want you to write down all the reasons you can think of as to why God cannot use you. In other words, I want you to complete this sentence: God cannot use me because. And whatever reasons come to mind as to why you cannot accept positions of service here at God's house, when asked by the nominating committee, I want you to write them down while I begin the sermon. Kenny Pitts would like this because, you know, it'll keep him awake during the service. He always kids me about having problems staying awake. Jeremiah was a melancholy person. He suffered from melancholia, which is a mental disease or condition characterized by extreme depression, bodily complaints, and often hallucinations and illusions. Melancholy people tend to be very creative, yet they are usually not very confident in themselves. They are perfectionists and may be prone to mood swings. A person suffering from extreme melancholia may cry often. And many of you know, and you may not know the genesis of the name, but Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he cried a lot. He complained a lot about his station in life and cried over his condition. Jeremiah also had mood swings. I want you to listen to one of his mood swings recorded in Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. You're welcome to turn there if you like. Jeremiah 20, 11 through 18. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance upon him, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. How upbeat. You know, what a guy. He's praising the Lord. He's saying, thank you, Lord, for protecting me from those who persecute me. And then in the next line, here we go. Here's the mood swing. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, a child is born to you, a son. May that man be like the towns the Lord overthrew without pity. May he hear wailing in the morning, a battle cry at noon. For he did not kill me in the womb with my mother as my grave, her womb enlarged forever. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? If anybody ever had some problems with depression, mood swings, complaints about his physical health, it was Jeremiah. But guess what? God chose and used Jeremiah to serve him. It's remarkable that in a time of one of the greatest national emergencies for the nation of Israel, God searches out the weeping prophet, or the crybaby, if you will, to serve him. Maybe God chose Jeremiah because of his extreme personality. Well, why was God able to use Jeremiah and his imperfections to serve him? First of all, Jeremiah was listening when God spoke to him. Remember in very early in our text, the very first verse, 4, Jeremiah wrote, the word of the Lord came unto me. What might God be saying to us today, to you and to me? What might God be telling you as far as serving as a teacher or committee member here at his church? Might God be placing an idea for a new ministry in your heart? Might God be telling you to encourage a friend or a worker who is struggling with the enemy Satan, who is dealing with sins in his life that just seem to be, or her life that just seemed to be overwhelming? Maybe God is telling you to talk to that person. Could God be asking you to prepare for full-time ministry? Sometimes when you say that, people, you know, kind of chuckle inside and say, yeah, right. Well, I never thought that I would be full-time ministry. But God called me, and I thank him that he called me and that I answered. Could God be telling you to witness to a friend or a neighbor, or to invite someone to come to church? If you wish to be used by God, then you must listen for his voice. Well, what does God's voice sound like? I honestly doubt that it'll come booming out of the clouds, out of the sky. Often God's voice emanates from the task that he brings to our attention, that he wants us to accomplish. Remember, Peter and John noticed the lame man and they heard the voice of God and healed him. Jesus noticed the blind man and was led by the Spirit to heal him. Philip saw a man riding in a chariot, trying to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit told Philip to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. All of these answered the call of God, and all of them were used in a positive way and in a witnessing way for the Lord. What is God telling you about the checkout clerk you see every month or every 2 weeks at the grocery store, who may be encountering relationship problems at home and you're aware of those problems? What is the Lord telling you about the coworker you see each day who's having problems with his or her teenage children and doesn't know where to turn for help? What about the visitation program here at Ephesus? What is God telling you about participating in that program? What about the new Faith, Fitness, and Fun program here at the Family Life Center? Is God telling you to use it to invite people to come to be here where they are Christians and fellow believers and people that they can relate to, receive mentoring from, receive help from? God was able to use Jeremiah because Jeremiah listened to him. God was able to use Jeremiah to serve him because Jeremiah was willing to be used if God chose him. And we know that God chose him. He told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." And of course, Jeremiah, sort of like Moses, said, "But Lord, you know, I can't do it. I am only a child." And God says, Don't hand me that. I don't want to hear that excuse. I don't want to hear you say I'm only a child. I want you to go to everyone to whom I tell you to go and send you and say whatever I command you and not to be afraid. And here I am putting the words, my words in your mouth that you are to say. I wonder what you've been writing on your sheet of paper. I wonder what reasons you're thinking of to tell God that you can't serve him here at his house. I'm too shy. You know, I'm not a good speaker. That was Moses' excuse, remember? You know, he stuttered and couldn't speak. I'm too young, Lord. How can I lead somebody? How can I be an example for somebody? I have no training, Lord. I've never even taught a Sunday school class. I've certainly had no formal training in religious matters. I'm too elderly. I've done that before. I've been doing that for 3 years, and it's time for somebody else to do it. It's time for you to do it if God is asking you to do it, if God is telling you to do it, if God wants you to do it. He wants to use you in that capacity. If you've been doing it 6 months or 6 years, we've got to be responsive to God's call. Does God wish to use us in his ministry? What did Paul write to the church at Ephesus? "For we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus Christ to do good works." And listen to this last phrase at the end, "which God prepared in advance for us to do." Which God prepared in advance for us to do. God already has a plan for our life. And so often we thwart that plan because we do not obey him. We do not listen to what he is telling us. You are God's choice for his ministry. For every member of God's family is a minister of his grace. So the question is, since you are God's choice, are you willing to serve? Jeremiah was willing, in spite of all of his problems, physical problems and mental problems. But God knew he could use Jeremiah. God had appointed him to be a prophet to the nations before he was born. And he knew of what benefit Jeremiah could be to his kingdom. God was able to use Jeremiah to serve him because Jeremiah saw what God saw. The word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see a branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." What does God see that we need to see? What does God see in our abilities? He sees that we are suited for service. If we will but heed his call, He will give us all the tools we need to accomplish the task that He set before us. What does God see at the place where we work? Does He see that there's a need for Christian witnesses? Do we see that need, but yet we back away? You know, I can't bring religion into work. You know, I can't invite somebody to Bible study. I can't invite somebody to church. I'll do that after work. And then we never do. What does God see in the people we meet from day to day? Certainly He sees the hurting that we see. He sees the hunger in their eyes and in their heart for hope in this world. And we see it. But do we turn away from it? Or do we carry God's message to those people? What potential does God see in the people we meet from day to day? Certainly He sees the potential in us. And we certainly, some of us, are not that talented, we don't think, to accomplish the task He wants. But He sees us. He picked us out to serve. What potential does God see in His church called Ephesus Baptist? Do we see that potential? Or we just always have a negative response to any suggestion about a vision, about outreach, about ministry? What part does God see us having in this church as it moves forward and as we move forward? Jeremiah was used of God because he saw what God saw. And if we can get on God's page and see what God sees, we shall also be used by God because we will hear His voice. We will know He's choosing us, and we will know that He will give us the tools to accomplish the task He wants. Now, that piece of paper that you've written all of the reasons on, that you cannot serve here, that you've got to tell the nominating committee, I can't do it, you know, this reason, that reason. I want you to take it home and I want you to shred it, burn it, tear it up, destroy it in any way you want to. And I want you to destroy it because if God can use Jeremiah, I know He can use each and every one of us. Regardless of what we wrote on that piece of paper. Regardless of what excuse we gave Him. He doesn't want to hear it. He told Jeremiah, don't say, I am only a youth. I am only a child. I don't want to hear that. I have called you to do this work. I have appointed you to be a prophet before you were born. And I need for you to accomplish what I have in mind for you. God will use us, and what we call emotional baggage or scars, God calls potential. What we call impossibilities, God calls opportunities. You can't think, no matter how long you try, of any excuse that God will accept for not serving Him. Think of all the characters in the Bible. Think of Jonah. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Moses didn't want to lead. Gideon didn't want to lead. He was just trying to eke out enough wheat by grinding it in a wine press to survive and not be killed by the Midianites. And God said, I want you to lead my army. And He gave him an army of 300 men to go against 132,000, and they were successful. God can use us. God will use us if we but let Him. So when the nominating committee calls you to serve, give some thought to that request. Pray to God. Say, God, what is your will for me? And don't turn it into your personal will, but what is God's will? Answer that call. See what God sees. Be willing to serve. Those of you who are already children of God, who've accepted Christ, you should set the example for others who may be seeking something in their life. You need to show them that serving God is what we do, and it makes us complete and whole in our life. It gives us hope. It gives us joy. It gives us purpose. Does it take away all the pains and troubles of the world? No. But it gives us the tools to deal with them when we serve God and come to His house and worship with fellow believers and do the tasks that need to be done. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to do that now. He has already ordained what He would like for you to do for the rest of your life in service to Him. But you've got to answer that call. And we invite you to do that as we sing a hymn of invitation. That's hymn number 279, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.